HarperCollins presents Two Wrongs by Mel McGraw. Read by Jasmine Blackburn.
Prologue. The lights on the Clifton Suspension Bridge are dazzling in the thin Bristolian rain. The woman walks across it all the time on her way to and from her shift, cleaning at the Royal Infirmary, and even though it is a notorious suicide spot, she has never yet seen anyone fall. But there is a first time for everything, and as she spots a young woman clutching the railings of the suicide fence, the thought zips through her mind. This might be the time. She hears herself call out reflexively, "Hey!" The young woman clutching the fence looks her way, and for an instant, hope surges in the woman who has just come off shift, until the younger woman, turning back to face the gorge, reaches out and begins to climb the fence. There is a terrible purpose in the way she moves. The woman who has just come off shift knows that whatever she does now could make the difference between life and death, and knowing that, sensing it, makes the hairs on her skin lift and her heart hammer and her legs surge forward. Still, the young woman clambers upwards. "Hey!" The woman who has just come off shift feels her breath quit. She is so tired. It was a long day at work and she cleans the A&E department, and there is always so much blood and grease and body fluids and so many cups and snack wrappers to clear up. She is accustomed to seeing bodies and knows what that 3-second flight from the bridge through the air and into the water can do to flesh and bones. The young woman lifts one arm and shouts, "Go away!" The woman who has just come off shift stops in her tracks, 3 or 4 meters from the figure making her way up the fence. It is all in this moment. Life. Death. She hears her own voice bark back, "Please, stop!" The young woman freezes and shouts down.
"Stay where you are,"
the young woman screams.
"I don't want your help."
"Okay, okay," the tired woman replies, holding up her hands as if in surrender.
"But talk to me."
She has no idea what she is going to say, but she knows that she must find a way to connect. The tiredness has drained from her. Her mind is razor sharp. "If I let this happen," she thinks, "what will I tell my kids? How will I live, knowing I have let a woman die?" She wonders how the young woman can think of leaving this city that she loves so much. This wonderful stone city with its dark history, its independent, almost feral people, and its brilliant, hopeful bridge. She wonders if the young woman knows that this bridge was first conceived of by a woman with 6 children, who drew up the plans and gave them to a man, and refused to take any credit because women shouldn't be boastful. Women are always building bridges, linking things, people, moving between worlds not made for them, always thinking up new ways to reach across the darkness, to connect. She wants to ask the young woman why she is doing this. How can anything be this bad? But she knows enough not to. Instead, she shouts out,
"I'm Sondra. What's your name?"
The young woman turns her head.
"Satnam." "We've all felt like you're feeling now, Satnam,"
the tired woman says. "I'm older than you, so I know.
But the feeling passes. It always passes."
They are more than strangers to each other now. Each has made her way indelibly into the other's experience, their history, the story of their lives. Satnam shakes her head.
"I can't. I just can't."
Her words are slurred. She's not in her right mind, Sondra thinks.
"Please, Satnam, come down from the fence. If we stand here any longer, we'll both be wet through. I live just the other side of the bridge."
Sample complete. Ready to continue?